Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly path we leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 18. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we might have the blessing of them in the church and then make it known to the world. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name that we can have that right relationship with thee through and because of him. Through him as the living Savior. Because of him as the dying Savior who died on the cross and became a curse for us. Who shed his blood that we might have life eternal with thee. Beginning by faith now and by sight later. We pray, Father, that we might enter into these ways here described, conditioned many times with the word if, but we know that because of thy grace, it can be made possible. We would think of ourselves as sinners, that this cannot be. But thou hast said, Lord Jesus, what is impossible with man is possible with thee and with the Father. And as, Lord, you said to Sarah, nothing is too hard for thee. And we know that thou canst now revive the church, bring it back to these things as they should be. Give us again the Spirit of Christ more and more, that we might live in him and for him and by him. We pray also, Father, that the Spirit might call more laborers to go into all the fields that are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few, that the church might be added to, that we might see both the church revived and the church added to, and how much is needed today, both in our nation and throughout the world, both for Jew and for Gentile. And we pray that in this time seemingly of falling away, there might yet be a time of return, a time of repentance, a time of faith in thee and obedience to thee, and especially at this time in the church, in the home, in the nation, a faith that worketh by love. When we see so little of it, and so much hatred, and everyone accusing others of doing so, but together we are guilty. And help us to see that together, like the Corinthians were, we are carnal. And as Paul could say of himself, the law is just and holy and good, commanding us to love. But we are carnal, sold under sin. And help us to confess that sin rightly, that we might come as David did, and say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. And we might also ask with him, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then to cry out for the return of the joy of our salvation. And also that we can then tell others the blessed way of Christ and of a repentance toward thee. And we pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings first, but also we pray for the temporal blessings needed for those in suffering. We give thanks for what we have. We pray that the virus that is afflicting us so much may soon be lessened. We pray for other ailments that people have and sickness and injury. We pray for the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for the hungry, the war-torn lands, the homeless, the persecuted, all these calamities that are there. And again, we give thanks for what we have here, and we pray that we may not be at ease in Zion, but awake and seek thy face as we should, through Christ. Amen. Looking at these words, once again, as Paul gives them to the church at Rome and to the church today, I'm afraid we are like the Corinthians, far from what this church was. As we've mentioned different times from the first chapter, that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Certainly, the church in our country is far from that. We hear of some other countries where there is faith, where there is persecution, we have freedom, but we are too much at ease in Zion. We are not a salt and a light as we should be. We have seen that in our recent election. The church has not been heard of. We hear of this party, this group and that group, these different ways, but the church is not a voice as it should be. And we must ourselves be revived and then again be a salt and a light. As David said, after repentance and after a renewing of the Spirit in him and the joy of his salvation, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We need that among ourselves to do as Paul said to the church of Hebrews, to exhort one another, saying that twice in how much it's needed. We do need to exhort each other, especially to prayer. Unless we do that on time, as God says over and over by David, Psalm 95, repeated by Paul, writing to the church of the Hebrews, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. What will happen if we don't? It could go with us like it did with Judah, where God said, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. There he gives three different ways of death, and other places he sometimes gives four. Isaiah said much the same thing. But we also have the blessed call to both repentance and faith by Isaiah at the same time. Wash, you make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And then those wonderful words, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What will we do as a nation? Will we be willing and obedient? Will we listen to God's reasoning today, so that tomorrow we won't be devoured with a sword, which certainly could come? We have enemies ready to destroy us. God would allow it. Many things are there. Weapons of war, mass destruction. So when we read this, in order to enter into it as we should, we need revival. We need revival so the church will be one. I've often said there is proof of how sad a condition we are in the home. So many homes broken. Shows that we're not right with God, not in the church and not in the nation. But also, the church is divided, very divided. Each one quite satisfied with self and their own group, but not the fellowship and the unity and doctrine and in life that there should be. Certainly, many in the church have voted for those who would murder the unborn. Yes, over half in our city voted for the party that is sometimes called the party of death, wanting to have the right to murder the unborn, that which was against all that our country believed for probably about 350 years. And then, in these last number of years, we said it's right to do that terrible wrong. I've mentioned it a little every time, and we're going to have to deal with it before we can come rightly into the blessing that is described here in Romans 8. Romans 8 has eight ifs. We read in the second verse, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It certainly is not the Spirit of Christ that we murder the unborn, that we have our broken homes, that we are divided. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, are you not carnal? When there were divisions, and there are those today, ways of God in every life. There are some things that every one of us practice that is held by some and not the other, especially the way of baptism. It is there for everyone, and literally everyone practices it, but does it differently. Sometimes, as one confession says, we despise the error of the others. Despise what the church is doing, other than themselves. And that is not the Spirit of Christ. Listen again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. When Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, love rejoiceth in the truth of God's word. Do we know it? The Lord Jesus said when he was here on earth, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Love and truth cannot be separated. Rejoiceth in the truth and not in iniquity. All disobedience is iniquity. Then we go on, the last part of that ninth verse, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of his. Not in the church, not even any worse in the way of being a Christian. Peter brings much of that same thing out. Luke wrote, according to Acts chapter 3, shortly after the time of Pentecost, when the church was in great blessing, then he gave these words of Christ. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. There the word destroyed is used. Here in this last part of the ninth verse, now if a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If we have the Spirit of Christ, we recognize him as prophet, priest, and king. Peter is referring to Christ as a prophet. A prophet, like unto Moses, God would raise up, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. There are some who do not recognize Christ as the Messiah, as the promised Savior, as the Son-bearer who died and shed his blood, and they say, but we believe the Sermon on the Mount. We live by the Sermon on the Mount. No one does that. We saw that very plainly from the past chapters in Paul's letter. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, and also there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So the Sermon on the Mount is not obeyed until we have what we read here. That takes place along the way in repentance, in faith, and then working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul writes to the Philippians. In the 10th verse, we have another if. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. What is one of the worst sins of the body? Probably the worst one is pride. Maybe the next one is lust. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. John writes in his epistle, in the 2nd chapter, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. We recognize that our body, as Paul said of his, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The body must be crucified. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, mortify that way of the flesh. And here, the body is dead because of sin. We recognize that. Up till the time we became God's children, we lived in the body, and we have only the spirit of disobedience that our body was subject to. Again, those words, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And we did not do any good, any of us, until we had what we read here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There it's referred to as the Spirit of God. In the last part of that ninth verse, following the second if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. They are really one, but they are described here by different words, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And then summed up in the 10th verse, if Christ be in you, the body is dead, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There we have the first three ifs. In the 11th verse, we have another one. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's our hope. That's the answer to the question and the words that we sang from. Christ receiveth sinful men. This is what takes place when he receives us and we receive him. It's both ways. When John wrote in his first chapter of his gospel, he said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We know that he must receive us. We read in this 11th verse, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." That is brought out also in that first chapter of the Gospel of John, the 12th verse, "Raised like to as many as received him." But then the 13th verse sheds more light on him, "who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Before we receive Christ, we are born of God. We must have the Spirit. Going back again to verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." If so be. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we're only in the flesh. And we must think of that if, as Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And a little further in the conversation, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We must have the Spirit of God to be right with God. We must have the Spirit of Christ to be right with both Christ and God. And that is so plain here. And we have the hope of the power of the resurrection. As we read in Romans chapter 6, we died, buried, and then risen to newness of life in Christ. And that's what is referred to and repeated here. Basically, the same thought in this 11th verse. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." If. Do we have that? Do you have that? The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. That blessing was also described earlier in the 4th chapter, giving us the history of David and Abraham. And then we read in the last part of that 4th chapter, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him," Abraham, "but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." There the emphasis is on believing. Here in the 8th chapter, the emphasis is on God raised up Christ, "and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And again, it is both ways. And probably one good way of describing it that I mentioned earlier already and last week, "work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And then the other wonderful truth, the needed truth, "for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Both of those things are in there in the wonderful way that shows that God did it. And then, only then, can we do it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your salvation, but work out what God works in us, as it's described here. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you," is put in you by God, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." It's a whole new world. It's a whole different world. That's why Christ had to say, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When God saved me, one of the persons that I talked to said, "Oh, I think you've gone crazy." Yes, they thought that of Paul too. "Much learning doth make thee mad." They said of Christ, "He's beside himself." Many have been even put in mental institutions because of their coming to see the kingdom of God and entering into it. I've talked to them. I've gone with them. Seen it happen. That's why we must have this Spirit of which we read again, if. And because of what God does in the 11th verse, we read in the 12th verse, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." Our flesh would have only led us down to hell. That's all. Why should we be a debtor to the flesh? Dishonored God. Sins both before God calls us, and we still sin afterwards, as Paul said, "The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. That which I hate." And thankfully, Paul had that hatred, and so should we. And we need to pray for it. Do we have more hatred towards sin? That's revival, when we have hatred for sin instead of loving it, and as our country has so wickedly done, voted for those who will murder. And they're murdering themselves. They're bringing death. Because God says so plainly, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. That's hanging over us, a cloud of God's judgment. Oh, again I say, we need revival. We need awakening. We need repentance. And then, such a repentance that it will lead to a faith which worketh by obedience and by love. We need the obedience of faith so much more in the church of those who claim we are God's children. And the obedience is one in the home, one in the church, one with God, and submission to Him. That's true repentance. Going on here, another if in verse 13, two of them. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We can see that history all through the world. God said to Adam, told him before time, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he did die spiritually, and he brought death. The terrible way of death was soon there manifested itself, Cain killing Abel, his brother. And wherefore? Because his own deeds were wicked and his brother's were righteous. And that is still the way today. There's more hatred toward the good than the evil. Sadly, we don't see the hatred in the church as it should be. The church is often accused of hate. If we say something, that's wrong. But do we really hate that which is evil in a right way? To do something about it in love, in patience, in continuance, in prayer. We need that all. So much, so much, so much. Listen again, the warning. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. We saw the history, not only of Cain, and later, different ones. We see in the history of Israel, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the earth swallowing them up. We see it later in the church after Pentecost. Two people that lied fell dead at Peter's feet. When they lied, death comes. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Not always physically, but it will bring spiritual death, and it will bring us to that sad place, even as David described it in Psalm 32. Before I confess transgressions, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. That's a sign of spiritual death. Thankfully, it didn't stop there with him after he said what happened with the sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. And then those words, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Forgavest. Oh, how we need it, how I need it. More sins than I can count need to be forgiven, because they've been paid for by Christ. And only when we know that Christ receiveth sinful men, but the last verse states, even me with all my sin. Sing it over and over again. Christ receiveth sinful men.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise